104.5 The Zone, an hour of talk about sports, Nashville, and more with Ned Michaels and Bob Mueller. Phone lines are open at 615-737-1045. This is Michaels and Mueller, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company on 104.5 The Zone.
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It's raining a little bit, but you know what? We're going to make it. We're going to be okay because live sports are on the horizon. We can see them. They're coming. It's Michaels and Mueller. Bob Mueller is out. His dog had an emergency tonight, actually. He had to have eye surgery. So let's wish our best to Nan. That's Bob's wife, Bob, and his little doggy out there. Hopefully they're all going to be fixed up and back with us next week. Chris Sanders, I think he's out there. You with me, 81?
Superman, what's going on, man? I was watching Judge Judy. She's looking cute every day, man.
I mean, it still amazes me how much money Judge Judy makes. They have to be.
Dude, she is getting cuter and cuter every day. That's how much I'm tired of watching TV. I'm tired of watching Netflix. I'm tired of watching Hulu. I'm tired of trying to catch these moles in my grass. I'm ready for some football, some hockey, something.
Well, we're going to debate all of that tonight. What comes
sure.
back, when it comes back, and how it comes back. All of those elements. We're going to be joined by Jeff Newbar. He was the man behind the match. I don't know if you had a chance to watch this or DVR'd it and watched it, but it was Tiger Woods. Phil Mickelson, Tiger paired up with Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson with Tom Brady, and played the match at the Medalist down in Florida.
Oh, nice.
It was fantastically entertaining. And the producer, the main man, the head honcho, Jeff Newbar, he's going to join us at the 7:15, the second segment, to discuss kind of behind-the-scenes look at what it was like to put on the match, how it came about, because it came about in a three-week period of time, which is, in the broadcast world, nothing. I mean, that's light speed.
Yeah.
So they put it all together. They raised over $20 million.
Wow.
And produced in trying conditions. So I actually ran into a couple of my neighbors already just out on the street walking around this week, and they had a few questions about the match that they've given me, and I will subsequently give them Mr. Newbar. So he'll be joining us here in a little bit. And as always, man, this is the listener's show. Always has been, always will be. 615-737-1045. Call in. What do you all want to talk about? 615-737-1045. Sanders, the first thing I got to know is, you get rid of your moles yet?
No, man. They went from cover two to prevent defense. I mean,
I feel like,
dude, they stand in prevent. They're standing on prevent.
I was out on my lawn this past week and looking at it one night, nothing. The next day, come out, there are all these little holes. There must be 50 of them.
Dude,
I've got a old golf shaft and I'm mashing down in there. It's only 3 or 4 inches before you hit rock, but I got moles. You infected me, Sanders.
Dude, it is crazy. I mean, I don't say bad words, but every time I come home, I just want to cuss at a mole. I'm serious. I'm being honest, man. It makes you so mad because you got your grass looking good and you leave in the morning and then you come back. There's about 4 or 5 mounds. I'm like, man, what are we doing, man? So, you know, even though they went to prevent, I had to run some 4 verticals.
Have you tried the dish soap theory yet? Have you heard this theory?
No. Please help me.
So one of my neighbors said that her grandma had an old trick whenever they had moles in their yard was to take regular old dish soap, like, you know, Dawn or Ivory, whatever, the liquid kind, and you put it around the perimeter of your yard. Not around the mole holes, but around the entire perimeter of your yard.
Yeah.
She says that somehow magically we'll get rid
of
the mold.
You are lying.
Or she just wanted me to do it and make fun of me.
Dude, I've done everything.
Up.
I got pellets. I mean, I'm putting sprays down there. I mean, I'm watching them in the morning. I mean, seriously, it's funny. It's funny. We're talking about moles. I mean,
all right, let's get the business. 615-737-1045. Call in with any questions or thoughts or anything you want to talk about. I want to first touch on something that we scraped the surface on last week, and this is the idea of baseball, and we're going to get to basketball because interesting scenario there unfolding perhaps on how basketball might come back, but baseball, we just touched on it last week, but there's so much money in baseball, and the players' union is so strong, and there's a history of the owners basically trying to be as greedy as possible in a way and get as much out of the players as they can.
Yeah.
That you can tell now there's some divide, right? And there is some resentment, yeah. And it's built over 100 years plus of baseball, all the way back to Kaminsky and the Black Sox. You can just eat this momentum of separation has built.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to dig a little deeper and get your thoughts on how do you see baseball coming back, and do you think that they're going to be able to come to an agreement, or are the players so used to getting paid the big dollars that they're just not even going to think about coming back?
Yeah, but you know what's wild is one thing has to happen, and I kind of use this illustration, is you got to check your pride at the door. And, I mean, if you don't check your pride at the door and you walk in a meeting with pride and you walk in a meeting with your agenda and you're walking to say, I'm doing it my way and nothing else matters, then you're never going to get anything done. And I think that's the problem that we're having here. You got the players, they want their money, which they deserve. You got the owners, they want their money, which they deserve. But what's going to give? I mean, somebody has to sit down as a leader, and I'm not saying they're bad leaders or whatever, but somebody has to sit down and say, you know what, let's come to the table. Let's talk this thing out. Let's communicate. Let's just don't talk through social media. Let's just don't talk on the TV. Let's just don't talk on the radio. Let's sit down as the players. Let's sit down as the coaches. Let's sit down as the ownership and come up with a situation that benefits everybody. But until they do that, all we're going to do is be talking about, well, I want my money, you want your money. But you have to check your pride at the door, period.
But it's everybody now has to check their
everybody.
Pride. It's the
everybody.
Owners,
everybody.
It's the Players Association. It's the players. And literally, by checking their pride, they're going to be checking their checks.
Right.
They're going to be reducing their payment.
Right.
And I just wonder, I mean, I cited it last week, and again, I think it's one of the most selfless acts that an athlete can ever do, because as you know, I am a pure capitalist when it comes to athletic endeavors and being an independent contractor. Money is how you, in a way, value what somebody thinks about you as a professional athlete.
Right.
And you took a big pay cut.
Woo,
but of course, you made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you told me that you almost made made half of it up in incentives. So, it was still a big pay cut. But how do you mentally make that adjustment?
You know what? I like to use illustrations. I remember we were training one day, and we could tell that a lot of our players were tired, and they were kind of dragging and just kind of didn't want to go through the running and stuff. And our coach pulled us up one day. He said this. He says, guys, to get where you need to get, you gotta tell your emotions to shut up, because your emotions are going to lie to you. And I remember that day where I was walking up the stairs, my emotions were telling me, I'm not taking a pay cut. My emotions were saying, I deserve this money. My emotions were like, how dare you ask me to take a pay cut? My emotions. But when I opened the door, I had to tell my emotions to shut up and say, you know what? It's about the team. And everybody says that. Everybody says, oh, it's about the team. It's about the organization. It's about a family. It's about a team. I love my brother. I love my staff. I love the leaders. We say all that stuff, but then when it hits the fan and it gets in front of you, do you really? Do you really? I mean, go ahead.
But what's interesting is that, do you really? Yes, okay? Let's say I do. Let's say I'm Mike Trout, and I really do.
Uh-huh.
And the owners bring forth this proposal that union members described as greedy, misguided,
right.
And basically disgusting. And part of it, the reason is, I mean, you got Mike Trout. He is maybe the best player in baseball, and he's getting paid $19 million.
Yeah.
$19 million under the new agreement the owners have proposed.
Mm.
He would make $5.7 million because it works on a sliding scale.
Wow.
So you're going to go from 19 to 5.7?
There's
no way that you can suck up that much pride.
I agree with you 100%, but look at what's happening right now. Now, if they offered that and the pandemic wasn't going on, we don't even talk. But look at what's going on right now. Look at the pandemic that's going on. Look at all the money that's been lost. I understand $19 million is a whole lot of money. Go from 19 to 5, understandable. But this is a different time right now. This is a situation to where we have a COVID-19 is going on, to where a lot of people don't have a lot of money. Now, if it was back in the day where no situation was going on and they came back and said, you know what, we're going to take you from 19 to 5, then now you'd be like, hey, I'm not doing this because why are you taking my money away? So it's two different situations.
And let me be clear, the 19 is already prorated. He's supposed to make $37
million. Yeah.
So all of a sudden you're going 37 Woo. To 19. Woo. But in a way, yeah. you can justify it for all the reasons you just said.
Yeah.
But 19 to 5, yeah. now we're 37 to 5? Come on, that's like a 70% pay cut. It's 85% yeah. from what he's supposed to get paid total. And the average guys are only going to take 10%. The sliding scale. So basically, it's, again, and we talked about this about 3 or 4 weeks ago, how right. it's falling on almost political lines of, hey, the Democrats, and again, I'm not saying what's right
yeah,
or wrong.
Yeah,
I'm just,
yeah,
I'm just
right.
saying it's becoming more and more clear that
right.
in this case, you know, Republicans, they want to give big breaks to the corporations. The Democrats want
yeah.
to give the breaks to the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at what the owners are proposing here in baseball,
yeah.
and
yeah.
the richest of the players are going to pay the biggest toll, where
yeah.
the average player is not going to get taxed that much in a sense. I'm not
yeah.
saying it's right or wrong. I just,
yeah.
I don't see how your stars who carry the game
yeah.
are going to suck up an 85%
I agree.
Hit.
I mean, I agree, but it's like this. You know. I remember when I think I was in the 11th or 12th grade, and me and this guy were mad at each other, and we were going to fight each other. But instead of us fighting each other with our fists, we sat down and we started to discuss and talk it out. And that's exactly what these owners and the players have to do instead of fighting each other and getting mad at each other. And I know it's cliché-ish, and, you know, it sounds like I'm just saying some cliché-ish words, but they have to sit down and they have to talk it through. The only way they're talking it through is, I'm angry, this is terrible, this stinks. But until you get face-to-face, until you sit down at a table and say, listen, let's make this work. If I'm a player, let's make this work. If I'm an owner, let's make this work. If I'm a general manager, whatever it is, whoever it is, let's make it work. So when you have two guys or three guys that come in agreement and say, let's make it work, and you put your pride at the door, now you can take care of business. But if you walk in the room, you know, with your fist up and say, woe is me, you taking my money, and he's saying, well, I got to get paid, all this stuff, you're not going to get anything done.
So much to discuss and so much more to dig into. We will later in the show, because I'm very curious your thoughts on, is this the beginning of the end for baseball? Is this the beginning of completely wiping out all the old contracts and starting new ones? Can they do that? What does baseball look without the superstars? What if the superstars say, no, you take your money. I'm good.
Yeah.
Well, I don't need it. I'm not going to go out there and get hurt for 85% less
yeah.
than what you're supposed to pay me. Only going to work for 15% what you owe me? No.
Well, let me ask you, dude, is baseball even dying anyway? Has the sport been dying in the last 4 or 5 years? You know what I'm saying?
Statistically speaking, it is.
Yeah.
But in terms of number of viewers and the length of viewership, it absolutely is.
See, yeah, I mean.
Dying is golf.
Money.
Golf is fat.
Yeah. Come on,
the match was on. It was the highest rated, most viewed cable telecast for golf in the history
yeah.
of the sport. The man who
yeah.
produced it, Jeff Newbarth, he joins us next right here on Michaels and Mueller. Welcome back to Michaels and Mueller. Mueller is out there taking care of his dog. Needed emergency surgery on her eye tonight. So, Mueller, hope you and the dog, Nan, hope everybody's okay. 615-737-1045. Call in with your questions. Ned Michaels alongside, well, kind of alongside, Chris Sanders. I'm in my bonus room, and Sanders has got his Titans jersey on. He's got his pads back on. He's put his helmet on.
Chef,
he's trying to get the mole in his yard.
Chef, I got my Ohio State mouth guard in. My Ohio State helmet.
And I want to take, as we do every show, take a moment to thank Ryan Albanese, our courageous producer who is in studio. He's the only person in studio right now. We're still under quarantine. So, Ryan Albanese, thank you, my man. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't hear, Ryan, if we're able to get Jeff Newbarth, but hopefully, I think he's the second producer for Callaway and Immediate Productions, and he's also a producer for Turner Sports. And if you watched the match, he is the man behind the match. He produced it with Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson. It was absolutely fantastic. It was the most viewed golf broadcast ever on cable television. It was absolutely fantastic in exceptionally trying conditions. And he went to Syracuse, where
my mom is from. So he's got to be an overall good guy. And I'm hoping he's there. Jeff Newbarth, welcome to Michaels and Mueller.
I didn't know whether to mess with you and kind of pretend like the first time when we tossed down a tiger and he couldn't hear us. If I recreate that, because then the rest of the show would be great. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for taking some time. As hopefully you're not too busy. Hopefully you're getting a little R&R after what I'm sure was a hectic, not only match, but 3 weeks leading up to it. I guess take us back to the first match. Walk us through a little bit of what was the inception, how did it come about, and then how did it evolve into including Hall of Famers from the NFL?
Well, I mean, the first match really is the product. Both matches are the product of Brian Zura, who, if you like the show Ray Donovan, he's the showrunner on that, Escape from Demamora, tons of other, you know, pictures and stuff out in Hollywood. But BZ, as we all call him, just has a vision, and he sees things differently than the rest of us. And he and Phil were having coffee and kind of came up with this idea. They've told the story many times of Phil and Tiger either partnering up or playing against each other, and that turned into match one. And then when we were talking about this one, you know, we had some preliminary discussions with doing it at another date, at another location, and then obviously the pandemic hit, and we all just kind of got together and just, you know, thought this could be it. This could be the reason to do it. And look, there's a ton of people that I'm going to give credit to every time I talk about this, because I appreciate the kind words at the top there, but I'm just one member of the team that really worked hard to make this happen. Steve Byrne, the director, Craig Berry, the executive producer at Turner, everybody at Turner Sports who ensured our safety, not just for those of us on the crew, but also for the players. I mean, the four players gave their time to be there and committed every ounce of effort they had, all in the name of one thing, charity. And, you know, we had a production meeting with them on Saturday, and, you know, I kind of let it off by saying, and it's kind of weird, right? You're sitting at a beautiful, you know, wooden table in a great country club like Medalist, and you're sitting across the table from Phil and Tom and Peyton and Tiger, and, you know, I don't belong at that table, but there I am. And, you know, just kind of said to them, like, look, we're having a big competition here. This is really important, and only one thing needs to win. And they all kind of look at me like, who the heck is this guy? And what does he say? I'm like, it's charity. It's let's get more money raised than has ever been raised in one of these things before. They all, like, got it. And, you know, that was our sole mission, was to entertain, and by entertaining, to inspire people to donate money. And that's honestly all that matters.
Did you have a goal that was set? Did you have a number in your mind that you're trying to raise?
No. You know, we never did. We never talked about it. But I think we all knew that if we did this right, that the number would be enormous. Never in my, you know, I never thought of a number, because, you know, you can't predict that stuff. But think about some of the things, like, people actually got auctioned off the golf carts that those guys, you know, drove around in. Like, that's amazing. You know, it just, there were so many cool components that inspired people to be generous. And if any of the listeners out there donated, thank you, because we really appreciate it.
You know, it's interesting that you said that, because, Chris, you always talk about not putting limits on yourself. And I hadn't really thought about it, saying, well, you got to set a goal, right? Mm-hmm. But in a way, you're putting a limit on yourself. Interesting. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead, Chris.
You're good. So one of the things that I have been asked multiple times to ask you, as neighbors around the street, Jeff, they wanted to know, how involved were Peyton and Tom in the production of it? Did they have ideas that they gave you leading up to it, in that production meeting that you just talked about? Were they integral parts?
Oh, of course they were. I mean, you know, they had lots of questions and stuff, and we talked things through. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they were there to entertain and play golf, and to be the best, you know, sort of entertainers and golfers that they could be. And it's not like, and there was nothing out there that was scripted, right? So it's not like we sat there and said, hey, on the third hole, make sure you do this, or hey, here's that, you're on the seventh hole, split your pants, hole it from the fairway, and yell at Chuck. Like, no, that's all a lie. But it was more just setting up systems of communication, right, that they had to buy into, that you will wear an IFB. And I joked, you know, that you know, for them it should be pretty easy. But you know, for them to know, like, the traffic is going to be, I'm going to open up an IFB, so they're going to hear stuff. Then at that point, when they hear stuff, they're going to hear one of our announcers talk to them or one of our guests talk to them. So that was very kind of controlled. What was not controlled was the multiple inches of water we got that made some of those mics and IFBs and receivers that we had throughout the golf course not work. So that added some extra kind of challenge.
And I want to get to that, but before I forget, I absolutely have to ask you this question because I swore to my neighbor that I would. He is convinced, he's a conspiracy theorist, which sometimes I am too, but not in this case. He is convinced that somehow the Tom Brady holdout, as Charles Barkley is talking trash in his ear, my neighbor is convinced that you all cut to a shot of somebody else holing out, because his theory is Tom Brady hadn't hit a golf shot all the way up to that point. All of a sudden, Charles Barkley is gnawing in his ear, and he holes out from a buck 50. Say it ain't so.
Yeah, I mean, if your neighbor thinks we had enough resources to do that, then we probably would have deployed them in different ways.
Oh, it's so funny. I thought, all right, whatever you want to think, Bob. The weather was incredulous. It was impossible. And I don't think that a lot of people appreciate just how hard it is to put on an event, especially when you got all the IFBs and you have all the technology in the rain. Can you describe to our listeners how much more difficult it becomes when elements are involved?
Yeah, I would say the next time one of those, you know, afternoon thunderstorms rolls through Nashville, go stand outside and get any electronic you have and try using it. See how that works out for you. You know, it just doesn't work. And, you know, hats off to our entire crew who not only had the challenge of being, you know, probably more diminutive than you normally would have just due to safety, you know, protocols we were following, but also just had very, very, you know, I mean, you can't understand how hard it was raining. I mean, TV didn't do it justice. It was just absolutely, if you look at some of the photos that have come out, you can tell how hard the rain was coming down. There's one of Amanda where, I mean, she literally looks like a drowned rat. I mean, it's just absolutely pouring. And to have mics and IFB stuff work, and, you know, all the receivers and all the transmitters were in the golf carts. So as the golf carts took on water and the water went under the seat, kind of, you know, because it drains through the bottom of the golf cart, normally that's okay, except for when there's electronics there. It just got soaked, and it just made it challenging. But it was funny because throughout the entire day, and I don't know whether it's just me being naive or just trying to be, you know, positive, because I generally am a positive person, I never had a doubt we were going to get it in. And I didn't know how we were going to do it. And look, if you did notice, there were a lot less commercials on the back nine than were on the front nine. And that was because I basically turned at one point and said, if I have to keep taking all these, you know, spots, we're not going to finish. So they're like, get in as many as you can, and we'll do a few post-show spots. And, you know, it was a little bit of a challenge, but if it ended on 16, it would have looked really good with hitting the off time and everything. But when it went to 18, you know, which is just such a testament to Phil and Tom, and, you know, talk about competitors. Like, you know, one thing I learned about Tom Brady, and look, I'm a Dolphins fan, so there were moments of this that weren't easy for me. And that guy doesn't want to lose at anything. That guy doesn't want to lose in getting out of the golf cart first to get inside the clubhouse to the meeting. He didn't want to lose at anything. And you saw that on the golf course, because he wasn't playing that well. That's fair to say. You know, Jimmy Fallon had some great tweets about him. Lots of people did. But he delivered in those clutch moments, whether he made that eagle putt on 11, you know, made another putt on 16. You know, Tom Brady just came through kind of when he needed to. And even the second shot at 17, he could have thrown up on himself and lost the match. And if you heard Phil's audio, Phil's like, just hit a 7-iron, man. Just get it on grass. I got you. And then he made a putt. And it's just, you know, you can't appreciate guys who are competitors. And when they turn those competitive juices on, they don't want to lose.
You know, as a fan, go ahead. You go ahead.
No, you go for it, Chris. You got it.
No, I just, you know, just as a fan, as I was watching, the one thing that I love is just watching the different personalities of these guys. Just watching how they joke, but they were still competitive. Is that one of the things you really wanted the fans to see, the different side of these players?
I mean, you know, I think for me, you know, that's a great question. It's more for you guys listening at home. You know, for me, I just wanted them to compete really hard because, look, here were the things I thought going into it, is that one of the things we wanted was we wanted competition, right? Because we just hadn't seen competition in sports, and we missed that in so long. And to see, you know, even as much as like on the 16th hole when Russ Wilson's on there offering 100,000 Neils if you hit it within 12 feet, and we get one, then we get two, and then Peyton almost holds it out for $25 million, and we have 300,000 wow. Neils raised. Like, those That's guys awesome. Were competing for charity, and that was like, again, I thought that was the side I wanted to see. I didn't want to see a new side of them. I didn't want to see, you know, I knew Peyton Manning was funny, but I think most people knew it from seeing him in commercials. I just want to see them compete. And you know Tiger and Phil don't like to lose to each other, so you knew they were going to compete. But even, you know, you probably saw some of the you know, moments of Tiger when he would zing him about, you know, the U.S. Open medal or whatever. You know, Tiger had some good one-liners in there, too. And then Justin Thomas. I mean, if that guy's Q rating didn't explode, you know, for this, I don't know, whatever will. He was a pleasure to work with. Worked so hard at what he's doing. I mean, Ned knows how hard it is to be out there on the ground walking with the group, you know, no monitors, trying to figure out, you know, when to get in, when to get out. And Justin never done it before, and A-plus for him.
Especially when you've got 120 yards of dispersion pattern between your four players. He's got a lot of ground to cover.
At least sometimes you had him on different holes completely.
Completely different holes, that's right. Fortunately, Justin knew the golf course at least enough to make some estimates on, oh, yeah, he's over there on 7. But, you know, Jeff, to your point on Tiger, you really had to pay attention because some of his zingers and some of his needles were very on the down low and very low key, and they were just fabulous. You could tell that this was authentic and genuine, and they all really wanted to beat each other. There was nothing fabricated here. It was just fantastically entertaining.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's a testament to those four guys. And, you know, they knew the responsibility they had to deliver and perform. And, you know, Phil on a couple shows he did today was talking about, you know, could this same situation work in a tour event? No, he's not going to wear the IFB and all that stuff, but could he potentially talk to someone during a tour event? He's kind of starting to warm up to that idea. I mean, I think the moment for me when I knew we were going to be okay was on the second hole when JT said, he's like, hey, I'm going to talk to Phil about this chip. And Phil's talking about this color grass, the lighter color grass, the grain, the water, the skip. Normally I do this. I'm going to take
Wasn't that something?
I'm going to hit it here. And then he executed it. And I'm like, today's going to be all right.
Right. I mean, it was one thing because he went into such a dissertation and thesis about this shot he was going to play. But then he absolutely nailed it. I mean, it just lets you know how these guys think and then how good they are to be able to hit the shot they're actually thinking
about.
But
yeah, that let everybody else relax and be like, okay, if he's going to do that, then remember the next hole or two holes later, we had a similar situation where Tiger and Peyton both had the similar shot, and Tiger pulls wedge and Peyton pulls putter, and JT got them both to explain that, the difference between a pro and an am playing the same shot. And from there, it was like, that's just the type of stuff you're lucky enough to kind of fall into from the producer's chair. That everyone's like, oh, you did a great job of that. Like, no, I just said yes because, you know, moments happened and we were ready to take care of them. And like I said, Steve Byam, our director, just does such an amazing job having all the technical facilities ready. You know, first time in Steve's been directing golf for 30 years, we saw the golf course for the first time Tuesday because we couldn't get there to do a survey. And
prepared
it blindly with you know, Olin Brown very well. Olin went around all 18 holes for us as a longtime member there. And gave us the lay of the land and took pictures, but we had no survey, we had no scout. You know, that all came together Tuesday, and decisions had to be made Tuesday afternoon after we got there. And
how many total cameras were you using?
About ten.
That's amazing.
You know, but that includes you know, everything. That includes tracer. That includes, you know, handhelds. That includes, you know, talent cameras. That includes everything. So, just a hats off to Steve who didn't miss a thing with less resources than you know. You would normally have.
I mean, yeah, that's one part of what makes it so amazing is that you're only using 10 cameras and, to your point, limited resources. And by the way, I'll give a tip of the cap because I had some concerns what Charles Barkley was going to be like. He too was entertaining. The levity that he provided was just right. And the questions that he asked were just right. And the Phil Mickelson, for example, on the second where he hit that shot, it was shortly thereafter followed up by Chuck saying, you know, it feels like that annoying buddy of yours who hits the shot and then he talks about it for the rest of the round. It was just right. The equation, the recipe, whatever you want to say, it was just right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole announce team, right? From Brian Anderson getting in, getting out. I mean, right off the bat, I knew Brian was perfect when we were interviewing the CEO of Feeding America, and he says to her, we had this idea called Feeding Chuck, but that was too hard, so we came up with this new concept we thought we accomplished called Feeding America. Right off the bat, BA set the tone with that, and Trevor Immelman, you know, was so selfless in terms of, you know, he would get in when he could, get out when he needed to, and just knew exactly what he needed to do and knew less was more. Chuck, same thing. He knew that he needed to provide those reactionary zingers and get in there and be relatable and laugh and have us have a good time. And Amanda, who was the ultimate teammate, basically helping Justin Thomas so much in our rehearsal, and then even additional holes that we did with just for Justin to make sure he was comfortable, because we didn't want him, you know how hard it is the first time you put that pack on to have to hear me in your ear, hear a program in your ear, then you have these mic'd players, you don't know if their mic is on the air or not. And Amanda just gave up her time and some of her research, and honestly gave up some of her on-air spot, which is very selfless to do, to make sure he was good. So just everyone was just an amazing teammates, and couldn't be more proud of what we were able to do.
It ends up being the most watched golf broadcast on cable in the history of the sport, in the history of cable television. As it's progressing, did you get a sense that many people were watching?
No, I have no sense. You know, I'm pretty much, I came, as you know, from the Mark Loomis School of producing, and you worry about what's in the truck and what you can control. You don't worry about anything. You know, I always tell people the story from the first match. I had no idea there was an issue with the pay-per-view buy, because, you know, we were very clear, like, don't bring numbers, good or bad, in the truck. Let us do our show. The one thing I will say I was aware of, in the middle of the show, for whatever reason, in a commercial, my Apple Watch buzzed. Shout out to Apple. Maybe they'll send me one. I looked down and there was a text.
Product placement. Just nudge it in there.
Yeah, there was. I like those guys. There was a text from someone who I trust, who's in kind of the golf media, who just literally said, "You guys are just absolutely killing this. Everybody loves it." And I was like, huh.
"That's awesome."
And it was interesting because you know, the Solly and the guys from No Laying Up called me right after the show and put me on their pod live, which I didn't know what was happening. But, you know, those guys are as critical as anybody, and they were throwing praise. So, look, you know, it's like I keep telling everybody, it was a total team effort. I still haven't really gone back and looked at what people, you know, said on Twitter. I should do that. I did post some pictures on Instagram today of the inside of the control room, because it was a pretty surreal scene, Ned. You know how packed those control rooms are. We spread out over four trucks, and I was about 12 feet away from Steve, the director. Normally you're a foot away from him. So it was kind of a different way to work. So I thought people would kind of like to see some of the interesting behind-the-scenes pics. So I posted those on my Instagram.
Did the numbers surprise you when you saw it, how many people were watching afterwards and when the ratings ran?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I didn't go into it with any type of target. And I knew that there was nothing else, right? And people have been clamoring for this, and the interest was certainly high. And again, you have four goats. So it does it surprise me? Yes and no. I mean, you're always flattered when people watch the work you do, so that's nice. But you know, I mean, God, it beat the Masters with Tiger coming back. that's pretty crazy. And it was for
that's
5 hours.
That's incredible. Let's just take a moment. Actually, let that sit in. Right, it beat the Masters with Tiger coming back. That's insane.
Yeah. But also, you know, this is different, you know, you know, times. And I think that I'd be curious if I could survey the viewers to see how many were non-golfers. And I think it would be a lot, because they know the attraction of Brady and Manning. And then they saw everybody having a good time, and they just like, well, we'll be part of that too.
Chris, did you enjoy watching it?
I did. I watched a little bit. The best part I like is when Tom Brady was talking, or Barkley was talking stuff to Tom Brady. That was the best part right there. And then
what made you watch it? Because I know that you know, I give you grief about, I'm not getting out and playing golf, but what drew you to it?
Judge Judy was off.
I mean, it
was intriguing. I mean, you have the big name, just like what you said. I mean, you got Hall of Famers playing golf for charity. You just wanted to see what was going to happen. And when I turned it on, and when I saw Barkley talking stuff to Brady, and then Brady sinks it, I mean, I was like, man, this is off the chain. I thought it was really, really good.
So, Jeff, how do you recover now? What does the next couple weeks look like? I think maybe there's some wedding bells in your future.
Oh, yeah, that's you know, I'm lucky enough where Paige and I are getting married in July down in Cabo, assuming everything goes according to plan with you know, obviously the pandemic. But yeah, so we're going to do that. You know, for me, this is normally the summer is normally the busy time of year. I'm normally with you, Ned, out at a USGA event somewhere or not. But, you know, as you mentioned in the intro, I do work for Callaway Golf, and we have a lot of cool content that we're doing. I do a podcast with them a couple days a week, and trying to come up with ways. You know, golf is interesting right now because it's one of the few sports that, as participants, you can really do safely. And I think people who didn't play much or maybe played 4 to 5 times a year may play 10 to 15 times this year because they can't do other activities. So yeah. I think the demand for golf and golf equipment is going to go up, and I think we're going to see a lot of new golfers. So it's my job to help capture content that inspires those people and maybe gets Callaway on their mind. And, you know, Ned, we're always up for ideas and stuff and trying to come up with different ways to connect with consumers.
Well, you're an award winner doing it, so you obviously know what you're doing. And speaking of shameless product placement, I will say that I spent 4 hours with our local Callaway rep doing fittings last week with my wife, who, to your point of fringe golfer getting into the game, my mother-in-law, who is just a fanatic, and then myself actually getting fit for a driver of mine that broke a year ago. So everything you're speaking about is the truth, and hopefully it creates a renaissance for the game of golf. It deserves it. It's a great sport.
Absolutely. Well,
Jeff Newbarth, you know, like, I'm gonna let you go, man. Really fantastic job. It was so much fun, and you all represented the game beautifully, and hopefully we get to see you all do it again. I'd be interested to know what the next iteration of the match looks like and who might be involved.
Yeah, you've been seeing lots of different names throw out there, and all I can say is stay tuned.
Awesome job.
Fair enough. Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on Michaels and Mueller tonight. Good luck moving forward. I look forward to seeing you, hopefully, sometime here in the fall, maybe late summer. We'll see.
Absolutely, Ned. Take care. Anytime.
Take care. That was Jeff. You can find him on Twitter. You can also go over to Callaway Golf, as he was saying. He's the executive producer for Callaway Media, and he's the producer for The Match. That was the highest
20
rated,
million.
Or at least the most watched.
Wow,
$20 million. Yes, $20 million they raised.
Whew.
I mean, that's amazing. And I'll say it, and I'll get on my soapbox and preach about it, but golf's the most benevolent sport in the world. The PGA Tour is over $2 billion donated, and this thing, $20 million. Just absolutely insane.
Awesome.
I think, speaking of money, we got to try to go pay a couple of bills. When we come back, we're going to pick up on our baseball conversation and maybe touch on the Titans because they've made a few moves this week.
Hey,
stick around. Michaels and Mueller. I guess you're going to let us keep talking, Chris. Why not? We're going to talk about sports. That's what we do here on 104.5 The Zone. It's Michaels and Mueller. Mueller is out with a pet emergency. Ned Michaels, Chris Sanders, he's out there. Ryan Albany, he is actually in studio.
And, you know, we have a new product to tell you about, Chris. We've been thinking about it already now for probably about 6 weeks.
It's Grandpa Bobby's Razor Saver Serum. If you don't have it and you don't know about it, listen up, because this stuff is
fantastic. Not only does it save razor months of usage, it actually is safer, and it's an antibiotic so that
you don't, if you cut yourself, you're not going to get some type of crazy infection. It's going to protect you against COVID. And like I said, it's going to save you money because it's
going to
elongate the life of your razor.
All you got to do is spray it on your razor, kill any virus. And the bonus,
of course, over 500% longer. That's how long your razor is going to last. Because what happens is the water sits on the steel and it causes a corrosion, which then leads to bacteria growth. Pretty nasty stuff. That's why, Chris, actually why I haven't shaved in like a month. I got this mangy looking skanky kind of beard going on. It's pretty gross.
Yeah, you look like Conway Twitty,
anyway,
baby.
It's a great product, and you should check them out. Grandpa Bobby's Razor Saver Serum. All right, I want to get back to Mike Trout. He's potentially taking an 85% pay cut. We were talking about it in the first segment of the show. How in the world?
Oof.
How are they going to get there? I mean, they're not even in the same state. They're not even in the same country. They might not even be on the same planet. $37 million to $5 million? What you talking about?
That does sound crazy. I mean, as being one of the best baseball players in the game right now, when you go from what you said, 30 million to, you know, 29 million to what, 19 to 5, I mean, that's a tough deal. But it all depends on who you are. And even if he said I'm not taking a pay cut or whatever, he sticks to his guns, I would applaud him. But even if he said that I would take a pay cut, I would applaud him. But for me, the stuff that's going on right now, I know it's easier said than done, but I would definitely take the pay cut. And the reason why I take the pay cut is because I wouldn't want it to be just about me. But I understand on both sides. That's just me. Everybody's different. Everybody looks at it in a different way. Yeah, I'm the best player. I should be paid the best. But in this situation, when we have a pandemic and the money is scarce, I would take the pay cut. I'm not trying to play Mr. Nice Guy, but I would do it because it's about the team and it's about the organization, even if the organization doesn't want to, you know, say it's about the team and organization.
The problem is that I just feel like there's no trust. And obviously, it depends on the individual. It depends on the owner.
That's the key right there, trust. You said that's the word. I didn't mean to cut you off, but that is the word. It's trust. Do they really trust each other?
Players who make $1 million are going to receive about 82% of their full prorated share. And again, the prorated share given potential shortening of the season. At $5 million, it goes to 56%. So now we're getting from five to, you know, kind of that $3 million mark. That's pretty big cut. $10 million, yeah. You're getting less than half. And then, of course, it goes on and on. And near the top is 30%. So I'm just trying to put myself in that position.
How do we fix it, though? I mean, how do we fix it? I mean, what do we do? I mean, you know, we're kind of talking about it, but just say you're a baseball player and you have the owner. I'm gonna be the devil's advocate. What would you do if you were a player and they asked you to take an 85% pay cut? What would you do?
I mean, that's too much. It's ridiculous. Get out of my face. That you know what that. Mm-hmm. And there was actually in an ESPN article that was put out today, there was a quote from a veteran player, and it said something along the lines of, you know, there's got to be give and take, but that's a lot of take to start with. And, you know, when somebody comes in and makes you a crazy, terrible offer, your immediate reaction is to pull back, to pull away, to be resentful, to get angry, because that is an insulting offer. And if you present me with an insulting offer, I'm coming back with an equally insulting offer. Now we're even further apart.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, let me ask you about this, just to switch gears a little bit, but it's the same principle. Let's talk about Derrick Henry with the Tennessee Titans. Okay. Same situation. Pandemic's going on. He signed a $10 million, you know, franchise tag. Now, what if they come to Derrick Henry and say, you know what? We understand you. You had the rushing record this year. We understand that you're a vital part of this team, but we're only giving you $12 million. Is that an insult to Derek, or does Derek want to be a part of the team?
This is a great question. This is a great question because it totally depends on the player and the individual, because some players look at how much you pay me is what you think of me, what you value me as a person, as a part of this team. I don't know, Derek, to say if he does that. And some players have a goal of they want to be the highest paid player. They want to be in the top five or the top 10. And while that would put him there, you know, if he wants to be number one, then that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, that's a great example of a team and a player working together, but baseball's so far apart.
Yeah.
The problem is they've alienated their superstars, or at least the players who are getting paid the most. And so what does baseball look like if none of the superstars come back?
Ooh. I mean, it's tough. I mean, baseball's already in trouble anyway. And just like you said, what if the stars don't come back? It's going to be even worse, and nobody's really going to tune in is because there's no superstars there. And I just think that, you know, kind of like the situation with Derek, I was just kind of listening to the interview with J-Rob about what they want to do with Derek. The one key word they said that really stuck out to me is communicating. They're communicating with Derek. They're communicating with their agent, and they're coming to the table, and they're trying to hash out to where it's better for both sides. But with baseball, it's all about what we're saying on social media. It's all about, you know, putting your fist up and say, it's about me, as opposed to coming to the table and communicating with each other. If we're just communicating through emails, if we're just communicating through social media and all these things, but we're not sitting at the table, I said it before, then nothing's going to get done. Because just imagine if somebody just comes up and tells you that you don't know and say, hey, man, I heard you're taking an 85% pay cut. You're going to be upset, as opposed to, you know, the owner or somebody else come and say, you know what, let's sit down and work this out for both sides. For both sides, not one side, but for both sides.
Six of the last 7 years, baseball attendance has declined. And over the past two seasons, 70 million. Now they're below. That's consecutive seasons. It's the lowest mark since 2003.
Wow.
So to your point, those are the statistics that bear, yeah, baseball's getting hurt. And this feels to me like the owners trying to figure a way out of these monster contracts that they have themselves created. And it just doesn't smell like it's going to end well.
Oh, it's not. It's not. I mean, it's not, because, you know, you have two sides that are angry. When you have two sides that are angry, you're not going to be able to get anything done. And if you just have two angry people, you're just going to keep having bad arguments. That's all you're having. It's just arguments. Nobody's talking about the solutions. All we keep talking about is you're taking from me, I need this, as opposed to coming up with a solution that's feasible for both sides. Not one side, but for both sides. And until they do that, then the situation is not going to change. It's just not. And that's why
they're squabbling over whose pie, the slice of pie is bigger. And meanwhile, they're ignoring the fact that the entire pie is shrinking.
Yeah, exactly.
If they work together, they can make a bigger pizza pie. And I like pizza pie. I want some pepperonis, some mushrooms, maybe some anchovies.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, remember watching the Jeffersons at the end of the song, it says, we all got a piece of the pie? It's the same thing.
First of all, everybody can have a piece of the pie. You just dated yourself.
That was pretty good.
Jefferson,
I was pretty good, man.
Right?
Yeah, because they say, we all want a piece of pie. But that's being realistic, is everybody can have a piece of the pie, but everybody wants all of the pie. And if you have one side that wants all of the pie, instead of slicing it up in different places, it's not going to work. You know? It's not going to work.
They're going to end up hurting themselves immensely and potentially burying the sport and devaluing not only the contracts of the players, but the valuations of the teams. I'll tell you, one of the places where you can have it all, though,
that's the
Grove. It's just down off of 840 Arno Road. Premier private club community. And it's so close to town. Like, if you live in Cool Springs, if you live in Brentwood, even Franklin, you're there in 15 minutes. You live in Nashville, you're there in 25 minutes. Just jump on 65, scooch over 840, and separate pools. This is one of my favorite things. They have this monster pool for all the kids with a super slide. You can get those orange crushes and strawberry freezes for the kids.
Yeah.
Sit around the pool, eat lunch. But just on the other side of the lawn, of the quad, they have an adult pool. So if you don't have your kids with you, you just want a little adult time, you can go over there. The golf course is absolutely fantastic. Practice range is as good as I've ever seen. It's always in perfect shape. And the houses are beautiful.
Yeah.
What's not to love? You can check them out, groveliving.com. All right, we come back. We want to do a little Titans chatter for a few minutes. Sound good?
Yep, let's go.
All right, let's do it. Michael Zamuler.
Worried about that.
Albany, we good to go?
We're good to go.
Of course we are. It's Michaels and Mueller on a Wednesday night. Ned Michaels, Chris Sanders, he's out there chasing moles in his front lawn. And Ryan Albany, he's with us in studio, the courageous one.
Are you crazy?
This segment brought to you by Visit Mississippi. Man, I could go for a trip to Mississippi, let me tell you.
Man.
Get down there on the beach, get some seafood, kick my feet up, maybe, and hit the pool.
Yeah.
The Beau Rivage.
As long as you don't wear no skivvies, we're good.
You wear a Speedo or you wear, like, board shorts? What's your styling?
I'm wearing shorts, man.
If I see you with Speedos, I'm calling the security guard. I'm calling the frogman. I'm calling the SWAT team to escort you out of here, buddy.
It wouldn't shock me if Mueller rocked in a Speedo, rocking that hat, just going old school on it.
Champion, first of all, my fans will laugh at me, and it'll be all over Facebook. So that'll be a
no.
No, sir.
I'm enjoying your Facebook post.
Oh, man, I appreciate you, man. Just some words of wisdom, man.
You always got some good ones, too.
I appreciate you, man.
You got any wisdom for the Titans?
Sign Derrick Henry to a long-term deal.
Yeah. How to get it done? I mean, is it just a matter of paying him?
At first, I was like, okay, I was kind of skeptical that they were going to wait, you know, a long time to get it done. But J-Rob, the general manager, did an interview today. And he said they've been talking back and forth with their agent. So that's a perfect sign of, you know what, we know you're a vital part of this offense and this club and this organization, then we're going to figure out a way to get your long-term deal. They're talking about it. As opposed to the Major League Baseball, and I'm not trying to go back and forth, they're really not talking about it. They're just arguing. That's the difference. They're getting something done, and that's why I'm excited about what J-Rod and him are going to do.
Baseball is just putting ping-ponging back and forth.
Yeah,
unreasonable. Right, ultimatums, basically. And
yeah,
they're going to eventually end up with – they're either going to end up with no season, or one side's going to win the upper hand and the other side is going to resent it, and they're going to spend the next 15 years trying to undo it and bickering with one another.
I mean, this you just said it, they're bickering. I mean, okay, here's the difference between the Tennessee Titans and the Major League Baseball. They're bickering. The Tennessee Titans are communicating. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I know you don't argue with your wife that much, but when you guys argue, when you guys are yelling at each other, nobody hears each other. But if you're communicating with each other, now you can listen to what the person is saying. Major League Baseball, that's what they're doing. They're just arguing at each other, and nobody's listening. But if they communicate, they're going to listen. Like with the Tennessee Titans, with Henry and J-Rob, the reason why they're going to work this thing out, which I'm excited about, is because they're communicating as opposed to bickering.
I don't argue. I just win.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Did I say that or think it?
Dude, you're in trouble. You better be glad she's not listening.
I got to go, and you got to go, because now you're an accomplice to the crime.
I appreciate you, my friend. Great show, my man.
Chris Sanders, always enjoy it, buddy. Hopefully see you in person in the studio soon. Take care of yourself. Global Golf Radio, that is next. My man Barney Allery, he's standing by. A lot to discuss. The world of golf starting to come back. The match. What did you all think? Stick with us.